going to present to you this morning is the woman with the issue of bleeding for 12 years. You say, well, how would she come into the picture of being somebody to represent Mother's Day? Well, let's look into it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And there you come to find that the Word of God tells us, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. The title of the sermon, Woman, Be Made Whole. This woman had been hemorrhaging for 12 solid years. Can you imagine that? It's a woman who basically they have found either she had a leukemic situation or she had fibroid tumors in her uterus. Either or, they knew that she was of childbearing years and they pretty much were aware of the fact she had children. She was married. But yet, according to the law, she was not allowed for 12 solid years to be around her children. Can you imagine that, ladies? She was not allowed to be around her family because she was considered unclean. So you come to find that her life was stolen from her. Her life was ebbing away because of her hemorrhaging. Because the life is in the blood. If you have a continuation of bleeding, you are going to find several things are going to happen. There's a certain amount of blood that the human body is to continue to retain for life and for health to go on. But if you are constantly hemorrhaging, in time, you're going to find that you're going to get chilled because you're lacking blood. Therefore, your organs are going to shut down. And in due time, if you continue to hemorrhage, you're going to go into an unconsciousness. Ultimately, you're going to find that you're going to die. Well, this woman, because of 12 years of hemorrhaging, her body was weakening and she was literally physically decaying. In Mark chapter 5, the same story, Mark tells us that she spent all of her money on various doctors. So you come to find that she was not only strained physically, but she was strained financially because she spent everything she had, all of her livelihood, trying to get better, going from doctor to doctor to doctor, but with no success. Also, you come to find that she was strained spiritually, because according to Leviticus chapter 15, there you find that the Word of God tells us that when a woman was with in her time of bleeding, she was considered unclean. Well, what happened? Well, she had to stay completely away from all of society. She could not dare be around anyone. Unlike a leper had to be ejected outside the city gate into a leper's colony. But for a person of this type, she would be allowed to be within the city gate, but dare not be around anyone within the framework of the society itself. If by chance she purposely touched and intermingled with anyone while in an unclean state, she would be put to death. So you come to find that the law had her incarcerated. The law kept her for 12 solid years where she was not allowed to be around her children, to be able to hug them, to be able to nurture them, to be able to take care of them. For 12 years, she was isolated. She was absolutely ostracized from society. Not only was she strained physically because of such, and strained financially and strained spiritually because she was not even allowed in the temple for that period of time. She could not hear the word being spoken, but she was also ostracized and strained socially because she couldn't be around friends or otherwise. She couldn't go shopping. She couldn't attend to any needs within society's makeup. Mark chapter 5 verse 26 says, not only was she having to deal with the horrific means of being kept aside because of the hemorrhaging for 12 years. But Mark chapter 5 verse 26 tells us, this woman had suffered many things from many physicians. What does that mean? That means that in her desperate need of trying to find a doctor to help her, doctors all meaning well, but they were kind of using her as a guinea pig. And so what she would find herself doing, she'd hear of a possible doctor who could maybe help her, maybe get her back into society. She'd go there. She'd spend all of her time listening to all of their vintage insight. They would try this. They would try that. They would give her medication. And the medical science of that day wasn't as powerful and knowledgeable as it is now. So whatever they would give her as far as prescription, she would try it until she would come to the end of herself. Once she came to the end of herself, she would try another doctor and another doctor and another doctor, one after another, until finally she just gave up hope and she went broke. Has anybody here ever had any problem that just keeps on going and keeps on going? You try one doctor because you've heard of a doctor, and that doctor has great good meaning. They want to take care of you. They want to bring healing to you. And they send you to a hospital. You take all the various tests. You get the MRI. You get the x-rays. They try this. They try that. And nothing works. Out of your insurance, out of the overflow of your insurance, out of pocket, you're spending thousands of dollars only to go. Out of upset, you go find another doctor. You go find another doctor. That's where this woman's at. She had gone from doctor after doctor after doctor. Let me say this. When a person was a leper, they were to be cast out of the city gate, as I said. Only the priest and only the priest could go to the lepers. But if you were unclean for any other reason other than leprosy, only a priest and only a medical practitioner could be in your presence. So that's why she was she was privileged to have doctor after doctor coming to her. Well, Mark chapter 5, verse 26 tells her, after she had spent her livelihood on physician after physician, and nobody could heal her, it says, she spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. So her situation was getting worse after worse after worse. She was literally dying. But then all of a sudden, she had a light that came at the end of the tunnel for her. Here comes Jesus coming into her vicinity. And this was going to be her only hope. What was she going to do? Now, why is Jesus coming into the proximity of her area where she may have the opportunity to go to him? Well, because of what's being told to us in Luke chapter 8, a few verses earlier, if you go to Luke chapter 8, verse 41, there you come to find that a situation arises here at an earlier time. It says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue. Jairus is a man of great clout, a man of great authority, a man of prestige. He had a prestigious platform. He was the ruler of the Jewish law. The synagogue was a representation of the Jewish law. And everyone in that time would look up to him because he was the celebrated figure for all of society. You could see him coming a mile away because they wore a certain garb that would give demonstration of their pomp, of their prestige. But when the rubber met the road, when this man had an intimate problem because his only daughter was lying in bed and she was dying, he no longer cared about his platform. He no longer cared about his position or about his authority or any such. What did he do? He heard about Christ. He heard about the healer from Galilee. So what did he do? He shed his position. He shed his authority. He shed his pomp. He laid it down. He went over. And in Matthew chapter 9, he bowed at the feet of Christ. And he said to Jesus, I beg you to come to my house. But then he said this, if only you but lay your hands upon my daughter, I know that my daughter shall be made well. What he did, he had faith in who he heard, and he applied that faith intimately, and the faith that was in his heart regarding Christ now was going to be communicated by the faith in his heart. He communicated it out of his mouth. And when his heart and his language came together, then all of a sudden it activated the power that Jesus Christ did have. He said, I know that I know, if you only but lay your hands upon my daughter, I know that she will be made well. He got down, he surrendered, he worshiped Christ, and he proclaimed the outcome. This is what's missing in the church today. He proclaimed the outcome of what he was hoping for. Verse 19 of Matthew 9 says, and therefore Jesus arose and went with him. Jesus wants to go with you. Jesus wants to come to your need. Jesus wants to come to your rescue. But he knows something. He knows that there's the faith that you may have in your heart is not a true blue faith in him. That you proclaim it, it's religious, it's coated with religiosity, but you're not really sold out to him. That's why the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Because God's ultimate desire is to take care of you. He wants to reach out and he wants to rescue you. But if you don't have the faith believing, and if you don't proclaim it before it happens, you're not going to see it. Amen? Yes. So here we come to find Jairus gets Jesus' attention. Jesus recognizes that this man had worshipped him, surrendered to him, and now confessed the outcome by faith. That Christ, I know you can just but lay your hands upon my daughter. She will be made well. So there again, Jesus arose and went with him. So now Jairus has a convoy that they're parading together, going to Jairus' house to get to Jairus' daughter. And along the way, they happen to come into the vicinity where this woman was in a desperation. This woman was 12 years of being isolated from her children, her husband, her family, but she sees Christ. Oh my goodness. Then she had to come to a crossroad. Am I going to allow for the law to incarcerate me and disenable me that I would never be allowed to ever see my children again? Would I have to live the rest of my life in such a saddened state where I'm dying? But I've heard about this Jesus. What am I going to do? Am I going to allow for the law to inhibit me, to put me in a penitentiary as I am? Or am I going to reach out and get a hold of grace? So she had to come to a crossroad. The law or grace? The law or grace? I need to do something. Well, the Word of God tells us in verse 44, it says she made the decision. She comes from behind and she touched the border of his garment. And when she did, immediately her flow of blood stopped. One touch from Christ and 12 years of endless sickness was stopped. Can you imagine if she would have been able to do the same 12 years earlier? She wouldn't have had to go through all that she went through. Can you imagine if you understood the true prescription of what I'm about to show you, then you wouldn't have had to suffer all the many months or years of what you're suffering. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not a respecter of people. So what you're about to hear this morning, what he did for her, he wants to do for you. Can you say amen? So this woman, as Luke tells us, the book of Luke, the disciple Luke says, she touched the border of his garment, and immediately she was healed. But Matthew gives us a little better insight. Now this particular story is in all three Gospels called the Synoptic Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Anytime you read a story that is in all three of the Gospels, don't read just one disciple's viewpoint. You need to read all three because they all receive different revelation. But when you put it all together, then you get the full impact of the story. Amen? Matthew tells us, the same as Luke, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, verse 20, Verse 20 says, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. But then look what she does in verse 21. Matthew gives us the key point. For she said to herself, if I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well. She proclaimed the outcome of what she was hoping to see. This woman, again, I remind you, was a mom. 12 years she wasn't with her children. 12 years she couldn't be around her husband. 12 years she couldn't be around the temple. 12 years she couldn't be in society. 12 years, doctor after doctor after doctor. That was her life. And she was growing weaker and weaker and weaker. She had nothing to live for and nothing to hope for. Isolated by the law. The law kept her captive. She dare not get around anybody or she'd be stoned to death for purposely contaminating them. But she came and she came up from behind. She came up from behind to touch the hem of his garment. Why? Why? First of all, she did it out of fear. She did it because she didn't want to be seen by anyone of her approach. But she didn't want to touch him because she knew if I touch him, I'm going to be stoned to death. She didn't want to touch him because she was afraid of contaminating him and making him unclean. Little did she realize that the world and everything in the world, sickness, disease, perversion, all the things that we are filled with cannot contaminate grace. Grace cannot be contaminated by all the evil infiltration that the world has to offer. But grace can clean and cure all the perversion and all the sickness and filth and disease that the world is filled with. Amen? But she came from behind, and her thoughts were, as we read here, she said to herself in verse 21, if I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well. So again, verse 20, she came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. But notice what it doesn't say. She didn't say, if I can only touch him. If I can only touch him. We would all want to touch him. But she didn't want to touch him. She wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Why? Because there was something she and all of the Israelites of that day knew. They knew what God had given to Moses as a law regarding how they are to dress in all of their daily apparel. You'll find it in Numbers chapter 15. If you look at verse 37 with me. It said, again, the Lord spoke to Moses. Verse 38, he said, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners, and you shall have the tassel, that you may look upon it and remember the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. So you come to find that God had said to Moses that when the children of Israel were to get dressed on two sides on the left and two sides on the right, at the edge of their garment, they were to have these tassels, and these tassels were to be sewn in blue. Blue is the color of the Holy Spirit. The tassels that are spoken here are like the tassels you find on a graduating cap. You have the tassel on the left, and when they get their diploma, they put the tassel on the opposite side. That's kind of like the tassel that was put on both sides, two on the left and two on the right. Those tassels were symbols to always remember the Word of God, the written Word of God, and the commandments of God. Why did God want them to do that? Because that way when they walked, as they walked along, these tassels would hit against them. And as these tassels would hit against them, they would constantly be reminded of the fact
that they are to keep their eyes on the written word of God and the commandments of God. Amen? So in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, when she said to herself, "If only I may touch the hem of his garment," translation, "if I can only touch the tassel." If I can only touch the tassel. Now, what's the connection here? The word "touched" in this essence means to grab. She's saying, if I can only grab the tassel, if I can only grab the written word of God, I know that it will bring health to my life. But I want you to see something. In order for her to get a hold of the tassel, she had to do exactly what Jairus did. She went low. The tassel was down here, about that long from the hem. She had to go low. She had to humble herself. She no longer could believe, "I'm going to spend my money to fix me." She said, "I need to get a hold of him." Maybe you're suffering with something and you're afraid. Maybe you've had something for a long time. And maybe it's just this simple. The reason why it's not going away because you're not going low. Maybe your own pride of believing, "I have enough financial sufficiency. I have enough wherewithal. I can take care of my own problem." And as long as you have that kind of pride, that thing is not going anywhere. Until you go low, it's not going to go. Did you hear what I said? Until you go low, it's not going to go. This woman went low. And as she went low, she humbled herself. She grabbed the hold of the written word of God, the tassel, and she wanted to apply it to her situation. Something interesting in Numbers chapter 15, again, verse 39, I want you to catch this. He says, God says to Moses, "You shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you not follow, and that you may not follow the harlotry." Everybody say harlotry. The harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. In other words, here's what's being said. Get your eyes off of you. Don't think that you can resolve you. God is saying, if you try it, it will be a temporary fix. But the only way you are going to get a permanent rescue is when you bring me into the picture. This woman said, if I can only but attach myself, grab a hold of, follow me here, the written word of God that is attached to the living word of God, then I believe with confidence and faith that the living word of God will activate the written word of God for my benefit, and I know that I know that I know that I know I will be made healthy. Only when you have that attitude that you have an understanding of the written word of God and who the written word of God is attached to. Amen? A lot of people have great knowledge of the written word of God. They are disciples of reading the word. They have more knowledge. They can spew out more scriptures than I'll ever imagine to remember. But they don't have a relationship with Christ. So what you have when you have knowledge of the written word, but you don't have a relationship with Christ, you have truth without life. A lot of people, and I've met them here ever so recently, that came and went in the church, they have a loving relationship with Christ, but they don't have discipline to read the word. So they have life without truth. When you have life without truth, you will find that you're a ping pong. You're going from one church to the other because there's no rooting system in your life. But either way, when you have life without truth or truth without life, you have no authority and no power. It is only when you come to the place of recognizing that there has to be a balance. Yes, you are to be completely in love with Jesus. He is the living word. He is the life. But you also have to have a daily digestion of reading the written word of God. When you have a knowledge of the written word of God, it is the very truth. Now you mix truth with life and you have power. Now you have healing, whatever it is you have need of. When you come to realize, I need to get a hold of the written word of God that is attached to the living word of God. And I know that the living word of God has the power and the authority to activate the written word of God on my behalf. Therefore, I am going to speak it out before it ever happens. I know that I will be made whole. Why is that important? Because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know what that actually means? Let those who are saved, blood bought, prophesy. Prophesy means speak forth that which has yet to come. We have a tendency to say, oh, I hope he saves me. I hope he heals me. I hope I get set free. You can hope all you want. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's a disillusion on your part. You have to have a conversation where you have belief in your heart in Christ, and you have to believe that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God written by many different individuals that God inspired to write it, and it's there, and it's going to always be there, and you have to believe that Christ has the power to activate that Word. Therefore, whatever you have need of, don't wait till you see it. You'll walk by sight. It'll never happen. You have to begin to speak it. You have to have your language line up with your heart of faith, and then you are going to see an activation of the Word of God that is going to come your way. Amen? Again, verse 44 of Luke chapter 8. She came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately, not in a few days, immediately, her flow of blood stopped. Verse 45 says, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. There's an argument. Jesus says, who touched me? Peter said, what are you talking about? Look at all these people bumping against you. Look, they're all going to church. They got nice clothes on. They got their teeth brushed. Their hair all fondued. They got it looking, they have it all looking together. And you're wondering who touched you. Jesus said, I don't care about what they look like. I'm telling you, somebody touched me, for I perceive power that is going out from me. So here you have this woman, and you have this gang of people that are all surrounding him. How would you recognize the difference between those two? Here it is. The massive group that was around Christ are still standing. This woman is down low. This woman has herself prostrate in the dusty, crusty area of Israel in the wilderness. She is down as low as she can go. She has humbled herself. She has surrendered at his feet. She went from behind, and she needed to get a hold of the tassel. This massive group, they were only into religion. They were into a fan club. She didn't want the fan club. She had a need. She wanted to go deeper. She wanted to go deeper. She wanted to get a hold of the written word of God, knowing that it was attached to the living word of God, believing in her heart that the living word of God was going to activate that written word, and she spoke out the results of what she wanted to see long before it came. Long before it actually happened. So what are you here for? Are you here because it's Sunday? Are you here because it's a fan club? Are you here because it's kind of a social thing? You like to come together and you like to be intermingling with each other? Or are you here because it's Mother's Day? I would hope that you are here because of whatever need you have. You want to reach down by faith and you want to get as low as you can go and humble yourself and no longer look at the harlotry of your own eyes and your own heart and not believe that I can work it out. You can work nothing out. Only Christ can work it out. And when you go so low, if you are here and you want to grab a hold of the tassel of the written word of God that is attached to the living word of God, and you believe that Christ can do all things to those who are believers in him, and you know that he's going to do it, then you need to prophesy it. You need to speak it. You need to proclaim it. When you proclaim it, he is not a man that he should lie. He must come through for you. He must come through for you. So we come to find in verse 45, Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? Jesus said in verse 46, he said, listen, I'm going to make it real clear for you. Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Somebody touched me. Jesus is walking along with Jairus. Then all of a sudden, this procession will come to a stop. He doesn't know what's going on because the woman snuck from behind. She got real low. She might have had some headdress over her face. She didn't want anybody to see her. Everybody knew about her. She would have been stoned to death if she even got near somebody. But she had to take her chance. And then she finds that Jesus is saying, somebody touch me, for power has gone out from me. When he said the word touched, that's an incredibly power-packed word. Used in the other verse, it says that when she touched the hem, it means basically to grab. It also means to intimately attach oneself by faith. To intimately attach oneself by faith. The crowd was all around him. They were elbowing him. They wanted to get close to him. He was the man from Galilee. He was the healer, the miracle worker. They wanted to get around him, but they didn't touch him by faith. They didn't touch him by faith. That word know, to be intimately attaching oneself by faith, is the same definition as the word know, K-N-O-W. That's why you come to find in Philippians 3:10, Paul the Apostle makes the statement. He says, I want to know Christ. What do you mean you want to know Christ? You know Christ better than any of us who ever know Christ. Jesus took you to the third heaven and showed you heaven, and you didn't even have to die to see it. But he's saying here, I want to know Christ. I want to have a more intimate understanding of Christ. So he attached himself with an intimacy of faith. When you go to a higher, higher, higher level of attaching yourself to Christ by faith, you will receive the power of his resurrection. That's what Paul said. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. What's that mean? That means that when you are truly sold out to Jesus, when you believe in his power, that he can do all things, when you know that he will take the written word and activate it on your behalf because you proclaimed it, I want you to know that you're going to find that Christ is going to come through for you. Christ is going to heal you. He's going to raise you above your storm. He's going to raise you above your circumstance. He's going to raise you above your issue. He's going to raise you above your sickness, above your disease, above every evil prevalency that tries to overcome you. You will walk and tread upon scorpions and serpents. They no longer will be able to tread upon you. That only comes when you have an understanding of an intimate attachment to Christ. This entire crowd, they were settling for just going to church. She wouldn't settle for just being a churchgoer. She would only settle into a divine, intimate, more attached relationship to Jesus Christ. Verse 47. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. What's going on here now? And I want you to catch the rest of this. Jesus is demanding a testimony. She came under canopy. She's hiding. She doesn't want anybody to know that she's there. She thought in her heart, if I can only get behind him, get down low, grab a hold of the tassel, let nobody know that I'm here, let nobody see me. But when she did, she had faith in her heart, she confessed it with her lips, she activated the power of Christ, therefore what she said came to pass. But Jesus said, hey girl, I see you. I see you there. You can't hide from me. I know you got healed, but I'm not done with you. I want you to confess it. I want you to stand up on your feet, and I want you to take a stance of absolute pride and authority, and I want you to speak to these religious fools and I want you to give them a testimony. I want you to testify of what happened that my father and I have just done for you. What he's saying is, I want you to give a testimony to this massive crowd who don't know the reality of how to receive benefit. But I want you to share your testimony with them that they too will recognize that there is a better way of life for them, but it's not going to come through their own wherewithal, through their own attempt. I want you to testify. And so she gave her testimony. When she gave her testimony, catch this. Here it is. Verse 48 comes into position. Luke chapter 8, verse 48. This verse you will find in all three synoptic gospels. Jesus says to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer." Well, listen to me now. This is the prescription for your healing. Jesus is saying to her, because you gave a testimony to those on the outside, I am now bringing you into a closer relationship with me. You're not just a daughter of Israel, you are my daughter. You are my daughter. I'm going to stop there for a moment. The church has been put to sleep, and the church has been given and fed a lie. We believe that everything is to be conducted and attended to within the four walls of a building, and we call it the church. Somebody comes into the church, and we say, anybody have a testimony? Nothing wrong with that, because we need to encourage one another. But the only time you give your testimony is in the building. You give your testimony, the rest of us are saying, well, praise God. And we have our little show that goes on here. But that's not what Christ wanted. Jesus said, go ye therefore. Get out there. Get out into the public. Get out to the unsaved. Let them know the goodness that I have for you, what I can do for them. You need to let them know, so when you are out in the workplace, you say, well, I'm too inhibited. I'm too ashamed. I can't tell people about Jesus. You go to them and you say, well, you know what? Look at my leg. I could hardly walk, but Jesus touched me. Jesus set me free. Jesus healed me. You want to do one better? You go to them while you're walking like this and say, you know what? Jesus has already healed my leg. Praise God. They're going to think you're nuts. But when you come back and you're showing them the result of what you said because you got low, then you're going to see they're going to get saved. They're going to get saved. We are to go out there. It's not until you take your testimony and you go out into the highways and the byways to the unsaved, to the lost, and you share your testimony of the good news of what Christ has done, then and only then will Jesus take you in into a closer relationship with him. No longer will you just be a son, or I should say a child of God. You will become a son. You will become a daughter. Because, and he also says, be of good cheer. Put a smile on your face. Put a smile on your face, because I've done some wonderful things for you. Then he says, the next line, he says to her, your faith has made you well. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It says in the verse, it says, the moment she went from behind and grabbed a hold of the hem of his garment, immediately the blood stopped flowing and she was made, and she was healed. But now it says, she's made well. I thought she was already made well. No, not until she testified. Not until she testified. The word well means be made whole. Be made whole. Now she's going to be complete. So you can have a new house, not have a home. You can have healing in your body, but still be distressed in your mind. You can have $1 million, but still be spiritually poverty struck. Doesn't go hand in hand. But when you go and you testify and you become a true ambassador for Christ, and you go out of the church into the highways and the byways, not only are you going to be brought into a closer relationship with Christ, but also he is going to make you whole. Now, how did he make this woman whole? Because 12 years she suffered the consequences of not being with her children, not being with her family, not being in the temple, not being allowed to be around friends and such, spending all of her money. She had all the raggediness of all the years of frustration, confusion, despair, and loneliness. And Jesus said, no longer, because of the fact that you gave testimony, you're not only my daughter, but I want you to know I am going to take all the years that the enemy has stolen from you, and I'm going to redeem them back to you. You're not going to think about them anymore. You are going to go from this day forward. You are going to see nothing but beauty and beauty and beauty and beauty, because I have so much more to do for you. Then he finally tells her, go in peace. I'm going to give you a peace that surpasses all human understanding. That peace is going to cause you that you'll never look back. You'll never remember about the past, because I have anointed the footsteps of the righteous. Therefore, I have you moving forward. Your eyes are beset before you. All the history of the problems you had, it's gone. So from this day forward, whenever there's an assault, whenever there's a problem, whenever there's a circumstance that is something very difficult to handle, my peace is going to swell up, and it's going to supersede, it's going to override whatever's trying to hold you back. You're not going to be held back ever again because of the fact that you gave testimony of the goodness of who I am. And church, that's what God is looking for today. For not only moms, but for fathers, for young children, God is looking for us. Stop being inhibited. Don't be dissuaded in thinking, I can't go out there and tell people about the Lord. That's what he's asked us to do. Go and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean to go and baptize them in water. It's wonderful if you have that privilege. But it means baptize them into the goodness of God. Let them hear of what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has done for you. And when you proclaim it to others and they get saved and they come into the house of God, they will be your treasures waiting for you in heaven. Amen? So listen, we don't want a church filled with a crowd of a fan club. We want a church filled with people that are on fire for Christ. Of whatever the goodness of Christ has done for you, whatever he has done, maybe he hasn't done anything yet because you haven't gone low yet. Maybe you have to go low. Maybe you have to proclaim it before it has to happen. And that's an absolute. There's no maybe about it. You want to see healing in your life? Then you have to make a proclamation. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You proclaim the outcome. You believe in your heart that the living word has the authority to take the written word and activate the written word on my behalf. And I know that I know that I know that when he does it on his time, I know that I shall be made well. I will be complete when I take what I have received and I take it out into the highways and the byways and I preach the good news to the lost, to the broken. Therefore, I become a true ambassador of Christ. And I am going to see that I am going to have a smile on my face and a perfect peace that's going to come upon me. And God has protected me from my mind racing backwards to my past. I'm only going to be moving forward. Can you say amen?